The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 243. Yeah, that's right. I had to put it on Twitter to figure out who did it. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the PlayStation powerhouse, Ryan Clements.
Hello.
He only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
So, Pumpkins.
The Dark Knight of News, Andrew Goldfarb.
Big Daddy confirmed.
And our favorite Twitter friend, at USP, Shuhei Yoshida.
Hello.
Shuhei, how are you?
Great.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. So, we have a lot to cover. You announced a whole bunch of cool games. The Vita's out now. It's a year later, a year after we met. But first question, how are we doing? You still like the show? How is Podcast Beyond treating you? As a fan, you're a fan. I want to know if we're still servicing your needs on podcasts.
Well, after a year that I appeared the last time, last E3, I've been listening consistently like 4 out of every 5 episodes.
Oh, okay.
I'll take it.
Well, actually, Ryan leaving the podcast, Beyond Crew was shocking.
Because it broke our heart.
Great, chemistry. But,
I'll never leave.
It's coming back, so I'm not sure what's going on here.
He's our boomerang. We can't get rid of him. He's one of our anchors.
Yes.
He's a pillar of the show.
I'll keep coming back to the show. I'm just not on the PlayStation team.
Well, I noticed that some people are saying that you are getting a little bit nastier these days.
He made a lot of PlayStation predictions last episode. People did not appreciate.
Totally making fun of. Some of them was very funny.
they were meant to be fun because I'm really bad at actual predictions. So that's the only reason why I did fun predictions. Because I never actually predict the proper.
Our predictions are always wrong. I wanted they were almost wishful thinking predictions. Some of them, I wanted to give you a hint, announce that you bought Quantic Dream, and then you have the documents all signed, the week between E3 and the last podcast, and then everything's all set.
Well, it was so fun listening to your predictions. I was counting, how many of you really,
I believe I won.
I was 0 for 5.
I won this time.
Really?
Yeah.
No, totally. I thought somebody,
we can go through all of them.
So, all right, we'll do that. No, we'll do it. We can do that on our first Tuesday episode. Next week. We shouldn't make Shuhei sit here while we count off predictions that came true. Shuhei, how did E3 go for you guys?
Well, it's still, second day.
Nope.
Sorry. This is the last day. It's been great. It's been great. But, I've been getting lots of tweets, from people who watched the press conference.
Yeah.
The number one question is, where's the PS Vita games? And, people who only watched the press conference, I understand, now I understand that, we have a lots of new PS Vita games on the show floor. We have 25, and Colin, you've been covering the game. Thank you very much. The number one goal from our PR department, was to make the conference shorter this year because we've been criticized, to hold a long, press conference, in the past years. One of the journalists in the last last week noticed that tweeted that, you know, so, you know, Sony just, you know, finished last year's conference last week. So, that was the focus. So, you know, the, you know, we went through the very rigorous, you know, review of the, all the content that we can have for the conference, and made a really tough choice, you know, because we have a lot to cover, you know, PS3, you know, PS Move, you know, PS Network, you know, our exclusive contents and third-party contents, and, you know, PS Suite, now PS Mobile initiative, and PS Vita. So, you know, when we packed all these things into, you know, what we thought was 80 minutes conference, we, you know, probably missed the perspective if people, you know, who are just waiting for new PS Vita games information, you know, we didn't, you know, provide. You know, we totally underrepresented in what we have, you know, for the show. Mm-hmm.
Sure. So if you could go back and do it again, would you take out Wonder Book and put that in?
That's a big debate. Yeah, because we are all totally aware, you know, the E3, you know, the audience is predominantly the core gamers,
sure,
and the media people, you know, less about, you know, general media. So there's a, you know, big debate, but you know, Wonder Book is such an important initiative for us, and we wanted to reach out to, you know, millions of people who are, you know, watching E3. So, you know, we decided, and because it's very appropriate for Andrew House to come out and from very bigger, larger SCE perspective to talk about new initiatives like Wonder Book or PS Mobile. So we put that in.
Gotcha. So, Colin, what do you want? What's your burning question, Colin? What's number one?
I mean, we're talking about PS Vita already, and it's kind of refreshing to hear that maybe you feel like you guys underrepresented what you guys really have on Vita and stuff. That's cool. But I think one of the things we noticed most was Call of Duty, especially in the West. No footage, no screenshots or whatever, but the game's coming out this year. And I think that kind of concerns me and a lot of other people. Is the game ready? Who's developing it? Is it really different than Black Ops? Don't you feel like that would have been a great game to show people, like, running?
Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah, we did confirm, you know, the
right
title is coming out. You know, we confirmed the name. And, you know, I don't deal directly with the third parties, you know, relations,
sure, right,
and discussions. All of these things happens, you know, on the other side of the organizations. And, you know, apparently there's discussion and decision made to announce the title, confirm it, but not to show.
Okay.
This time.
Activision trying to pad their pockets or something like that. I said they want to do their own Call of Duty press conference, probably.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not how it works.
Right. Didn't Assassin's game look good?
You know how I feel about American History, Shuei. So I think Assassin's Creed 3 looks phenomenal, and Liberation I think looks really cool too, especially because it's going to launch with this guy right here.
White.
I'm pointing at the white Vita.
You want me to take a photo like we did last year when you pointed at the Uncharted in the middle of it?
Yeah. Right.
Didn't no one believe it was actually good?
No one ever believes anything. Oh, Colin's going to do a creepy pose with him. Yeah, you get in there, Shuka. You do a creepy pose with him.
Maybe right. Not creepy.
There we go. iPhone. Yeah, okay, that's a great one. That's a one.
So, Clements, what have you?
In general, I thought that... Well, I think that it was wise. I'm sorry, I don't have a specific Vita thing. I wanted to actually say that. I thought it was really wise that you ended
conversational podcast.
Last of Us. Yes, yes. I heard, by the way, I don't know if you guys, we were all, you know, watching in the war room. You gentlemen were there, but was the controller dropped at the end of a demo? Okay.
That was amazing.
That was the most amazing moment of all. Bruce knew. Like, that was why The Last of Us is the demo that stands out. I mean, it was a great book ending, right, of coming out with Beyond. Again, my lawyers will be in touch. Coming out with Beyond. And then ending with The Last of Us is because, Last of Us came out and, like, there had been so much talk, right? Like, Jack introduces everybody, somebody comes out and talks about the game, and Last of Us, it's pitch black, Bruce comes up from Naughty Dog, picks it up, plays the entire thing, then drops the controller like a mic, throws his hands up in the air, and walks out. Like, it was amazing.
No, I somehow totally missed that part, but that I was watching the actual feed, and that I think that was a really strong way to end the show. And any concerns I may have had beforehand were alleviated, at least to a degree.
You guys must be extraordinarily happy with the way that game looks and the reception it's getting.
Yeah. I was sitting, you know, watching the rehearsal the day before the press conference, and I didn't, you know, I have a chance to see the demo, you know, until that time, and I was like, oh my god.
High-fiving with
Yeah. All right, so jumping back a little bit. Now, see, we had this same conversation last year, so I'm trying to touch back on our touchstones there. Mm-hmm. So now we're talking about how well Last of Us is, how happy you are with it. What's going on with Last Guardian? Like, that was the big thing. Colin, of course, his bonehead prediction is that it would have been at this show. It would have been...
I thought it would throw people off because I said that the game was permanently in development hell, and now I was going to throw it up and feel like maybe it's ready to go.
Yeah. So what was the question?
what's the status right now of Last Guardian? Is it still a production that's happening? And
yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The team is working hard in Tokyo. And there are certain technical issues they are working on. So this is a pure time project that from the outside and we don't see much progress.
Oh sure.
But the engineers are working really hard to get some of the issues to sort out. So we are waiting for the time that we can confidently talk about timing and
what's next?
Yeah, scope of the project.
Okay.
So, are the rumors, I don't think they've ever been confirmed, but are the rumors true that Team Nico is getting help from Sony Santa Monica and other studios in finishing the game?
Well, in World War Studio, we have fantastic, talent, technical talent. So we've been getting a lot of help from other teams in terms of, looking at the code and giving some advice, so it's not like Santa Monica team is working on the title, but we have getting some advice from many people, including people in Santa Monica. So
sure,
are you guys at all concerned about the stigma the game's kind of developing as far as it being in development so long and that it can never? It's kind of honestly something similar to happened to Gran Turismo 5, which was that it was in development for so long that it could never reach the height that people thought it was going to be, this amazing game. It seemed. Are you afraid that it might disappoint people because it's been in development for so long?
It depends. It really depends on the final shape of the game. People has really high expectations because of the titles. Whether some the Eco Team's last two titles quality. So I was not expecting. I took many interviews through this E3, and 9 out of 10 interviewers, the first question was, where's the Last Guardian? I was kind of expecting that people kind of, you've been asking the same question, for so many times, and let's, wait for us to come back with the news, but that's not the case. So I'm amazed, still there high expectations, and that reconfirms our beliefs that we have to continue to strongly support the team.
Sure. I mean, the only reason we're asking, right, is because we're getting asked from our readers and fans and listeners. I mean, they're so adamant about wanting to know what's up with that game. I think that's why you're seeing it. Probably every other outlet, they got a lot of Xbox fans talking to them about whatever, but then there's a few PlayStation people who, for some reason, don't just come to us with everything, but whatever.
But they should.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they'll come around eventually. We'll get them all eventually.
America's number one podcast.
America's the most beloved podcast.
The most beloved. Sorry. Of course.
So then, again, looking back at last year, we were talking at that time about the PlayStation Vita coming up. Mm-hmm. Now it's out. What's been your reaction? Mm-hmm. what I mean? It's been one of those things where we put up the news about numbers, this, that, the other. We review the games. We like the games and stuff, but it seems like it's still trying to get its ground, stand its ground. What's your take on it?
Well, in terms of the system itself and how it has turned out and what the reactions we are getting from people who purchased, it's great. We worked so hard with the hardware teams for the last 3 years to make this system as best as possible to make games on, and I'm so happy how this has turned out, and I myself have been spending a lot of time playing game because I travel so much, and there's nothing like PSP that before while I'm away from home I can still play very deep games. I almost platinum the Unit Star team. I have only 7 more missions.
Are you still playing both the Japanese and the American
one? Yeah.
You're crazy.
Both of the coming closer to.
Yeah. Those MVPs, you can't fool around with them.
Yeah, I platinum Resistance before.
Yeah. Unit Star team. You almost can't not platinum Resistance when you play.
Yeah, well, yeah, so, but there are certain things, you know, we still have to work harder, you know, in terms of, you know, firmware and system applications, and I'm very happy to be able to announce that in the next firmware update, we are adding the PS1 Classic support. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the number one thing I've been getting, you know, requested from people. And number two, actually, was YouTube support, and, you know, we are, you know, doing it later this month. And so, and you know, there are other things, like we have to improve the web browser. You know, it's, you know, it's usable, but, you know, it can be, you know, better, so that, you know, team in Tokyo is working really hard. And our network service group is, you know, working hard to add more, you know, services to PS Vita. And of course, the most important thing is to get more games, and games to take advantage of the PS Vita features, you know, as is, as well as, you know, how you can use PS Vita with PS3. So at E3 timing, we reconfirmed, you know, some of the, you know, features, cross-platform features, we classified into categories, and, you know, added, you know, actual title example to show that these are the examples of things you can do, you know, with PS Vita and PS3.
Yeah.
So, you know, in my mind, you know, we are just starting with PS Vita, and it's just, you know, 4 months, you know, since the launch, and we are still trying to show to the world and developers and consumers these are the thing, kind of things, you know, you can do and we can do on PS Vita. So that's the focus. And in terms of the sales,
that was the thing. Like, yeah, you've hit the bullet points now. But, like, I mean, are you concerned? I mean, or is it one of those things, you know, things that are coming that, you know, like, whatever, I'm not worried.
Well, in terms of sales, that comes when we achieve the goal that we are, you know, working on. You know, there are many bullet points that, you know, we, and so it comes, you know, as we work on these things, you know, because we have really confidence in the longevity of this platform.
Sure.
And so, yeah.
So is it, so you guys are really looking at the long game with it, because, you know, one thing we always talk about, because I pay close attention to the Japanese market as much as I can, because I'm just kind of interested and fascinated by it, and you always see on Media Create's top 20 software list, PSP games, new PSP games, lots of new PSP games. PSP hardware is outselling Vita hardware 2-to-1 or more.
The Europe's just got a new PSP.
Yeah, Europe's getting a new PSP. Do you think, it seems like there's a conflicting message there with people, like, new PSP games are still being announced, PSP is still being sold. Are you concerned that maybe all this should have been folded into Vita to make it sell more? Or is it really like a long term, like, you're going to look at this thing in 5, 6, 7 years, it's still going to be on the market, you're still going to want it? Is that really the way you're focusing, what you're focusing on right now with PSP and Vita?
Well, yeah, the platform transition is a very delicate thing to manage. And as far as, you know, Japanese market is concerned, there are still so many people, you know, using PSP and still purchasing PSP. And, you know, third-party publishers have, you know, long-standing franchises they are working on PSP. So, you know, our third-party relations team has been in constant discussion with those people what's the right time, you know, for them to consider, you know, move, you know, franchise from PSP to PS Vita, or some, you know, companies are considering, you know, both PSP and PS Vita versions with, you know, additional, you know, improvement on PS Vita. So that transition will happen, you know, over time. And if we declare that no more PSP, you know, everybody should go PS Vita.
Which, you know, you've heard him say it. That's Colin's thing. He wants you to march into these third-party developers and say, anything you're making for PSP, make it a Vita game.
Yeah, but there are certain things, you know, PS Vita, you know, that we have to achieve to be able to consumers, especially younger, you know, generations. You know, that's the main, you know, market in Japan now. So compared to PSP, you know, including, like, a price point.
Right.
Yeah, so
you're talking about, you know, a while ago about cross-play and how, you know, the Vita's thing is that it goes back and forth with PS3. This is this unique relationship that it has. And now, you know, Sly Cooper is doing it. PlayStation All-Stars are doing it. How are you tackling pricing this thing? And I'm not saying for any of the games I specifically mentioned right now. That's not what I'm saying. Because I know those haven't been announced and you'll somehow dodge that question. But I mean, in general, like, you know, like Blu-rays still do it where you buy the Blu-ray and you get the digital movie inside. Is there a possibility of ever getting that to that point with the these games?
Do you like that? Like, you know, Blu-ray and the DVD and digital copies in one package?
For Blu-rays, no, because I'm just buying everything digitally off Vudu or whatever, whatever. But for games, sure. Especially for this, because that's what we're always talking about on Beyond, right? Is the fact that the way you sell Vitas is to show people that they can't live without one. So if people are buying PS3 games and they're buying, Game X, and inside Game X is also the Vita version, then they're like, well, I've already got 3 Vita games. Why don't I go out and get it?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think we agree?
I bet you do, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, just before the show, we announced that, you know, for Sound Shapes,
yeah,
when you pay $14.99, you get both PS3 and PS Vita version.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we do agree that we want people to own both PS3 and PS Vita versions of our games, you know, because these have, you know, great, you know, cross-platform features. You can create, you know, your song on, you know, Sound Shapes on PS3 and continue your creation on PS Vita and share with your, you know, friends. And so, unless, you know, we provide some easy, you know, ways for people to own both versions. You know, we did, you know, the same thing with Motor Storm RC. So we are already thinking product by product how we can make it easier for people. You know, certain products, you know, have certain, you know, cost, you know,
sure,
attached to it. So we cannot, you know, provide everything, you know, as bundled. For example, when we launched MLB, the show 12,
sure,
you know, we worked with a retailer partner so that, you know, when you purchase both PS3 and PS Vita versions, you get, you know, discounts. So, you know, we are looking at, you know, different options for Sly Cooper game and PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale game, you know, because we want people to have both versions to, you know, experience what we've been working on.
Sure.
Cross-platform.
Cool. So then, All-Stars, are you a playable character on the disc, or are you going to be DLC? you a playable character. You get in there, you can punch Big Daddy.
If I was a playable, I don't think that's the right, you know, decision.
I'll be your manager. Yeah, I was going to say, I'll be your manager. You're underestimating your Twitter followers.
I prefer Kazuhirai to be.
Yeah, you got plenty of people. Yeah, there you go. You got a whole DLC pack right there.
The Sony executive pack.
So, one of the questions I have, and I'm not sure how in depth you can get about this, is, I guess, the state of the first party studios. One thing that concerned me as a very long time PlayStation fan, had my finger on the pulse for a long time, is that 2 studios were closed this year after, really, except for Incognito, a studio never being closed. So is Sony trying, you know, with Zipper and Big kind of being removed from the situation, is Sony trying to kind of more focus on its more successful studios, more successful properties, or are you guys looking to still expand the first party and continue to purchase and develop new studios to create your exclusives? What's kind of the tack that you guys are taking?
Well, yeah, we approach each, you know, project like a business. It's very organic decision. When a studio or IP becomes successful, you know, people want, you know, sequels, you know, we look at, you know, what we can do with, you know, the IP, and if it makes sense, continues. And if the studio has the ambition to become, you know, a larger or do more things, you know, become 2 teams, you know, 3 teams, you know, we kind of, you know, work out the, you know, plan with each individual, you know, studios. So it's a organic decision, and in terms of overall investment, you know, we've been, you know, actually increasing the spend. And when you look at, and it's a very difficult decision to close the internal studios, you know, compared to, you know, finishing the partnerships with, you know, independent third party developers, because the in relation with, you know, external teams is on contract, so it's a, you know, equal, you know, partnership. They have the same say in terms of if we continue, you know, the relationship. But in terms of internal teams, it's really difficult to shut down studios like we did earlier this year. But because, you know, the game development really takes great chemistry of people and a great IP to work on, and overall, you know, business, how it's going in terms of the focus or technology or, you know, kind of games we want to be made, Sometimes, you know, we want to shift resources from certain area to the other. And, you know, while we shut down two studios, we are increasing the investment in some other teams. You know, you might have noticed, you know, some studios used to be, you know, one team, you know, studio becoming two teams.
Like Naughty Dog.
Yeah, like Naughty Dog, you know, and the, some other...
like Sucker Punch.
Yeah, so overall we are continuing investment, but we constantly making, you know, looking at each individual, you know, titles and teams and making decisions.
And can we? I mean, I know you can't be too specific about this, but can we still count on you guys to acquire and develop or create new studios, or is it really? Is it really just where I understand you're investing more in what you already have, but are you guys still eyeing certain studios, certain teams that you kind of want to acquire?
You know, as you are very familiar with how, you know, we approach the acquisition, we've never acquired a developer who we have never worked with before. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, organic, you know, development of relations with external, you know, development partners. When we have the, you know, couple of games that, you know, we have made successful, you know, created IP and, you know, have, you know, created really trusting, strong relationship. You know, because it takes a really strong trust between the team, development team and the publishing side, not only, you know, our production team, but also with our marketing, you know, and support groups, to realize the, you know, the potential of, you know, whatever the team has, you know, come up. So, you know, we are very cautious in terms of making it more official by, you know, acquiring external partners. But once we have a strong product, you know, together, you know, created, and we have, you know, agreed on the future ambitions of the studio and IP, you know, it kind of naturally, you know, come up the conversation, you know, because we have the trust. We want them to continue to work on our platform.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, creative people are managing the studios. And these days, the investment for one product is getting bigger and bigger. It's you know, one thing to manage, you know, to 20 people. If, you know, our next project doesn't happen for a couple of months, you know, the management may be able to finance those couple of months, you know, for the 20 people. But if you have 80 people, you have to kind of, you know, pay monthly. It's going to be a huge pressure. So especially when the creative people are managing studios, you know, sometimes, you know, they want to focus on the creative side of making games, and becoming a part of larger publishers kind of help out that stress. So that's the main reason, you know, when we go into the, you know, conversations and you know, acquire, you know, developers. So there's no beginning or the end of these activities. It's just a, you know, regular thing that we look at.
Yeah, that's a really important point, I think, for listeners at home, right, is that that's why people are so willing to come on and be an exclusive developer, because then they just get to make games. You guys worry about writing the checks, whatever, and you know, you walk in and you tell them, you know, make this awesome game, here's as much time as you need, the kind of thing like that. But for you, then, what's the flip side of that? What's the benefit to Sony right now? And this, stick with me for a second, because I know it sounds like a dumb question. Obviously, you're getting great games out of it, but is it in a way future-proofing? I mean, right now, obviously, we're getting great games on Vita and PlayStation 3 from all these first-party developers, but, you know, three generations of consoles from now, if, you know, if TVs are moving to the point where they can have everything on there, is it that you have this warehouse of studios who can produce content for you and keep, you know, Sony just becoming basically a publisher of games?
Basically, a publisher of games,
yeah,
and get out of platform business.
Yeah, not that I'm saying, not that I want that or saying that's happening, but I'm saying this is like part of it, right? As far why you want people under your, you know, umbrella.
He's saying like in the future in which consoles are solid state and unified, you know, which is what everyone assumes, where there'll just be a box. It's not Sony. It's not.
Will there even be a box, or it'll just be a TV?
It'll just be a TV or a service, and Sony just publishes games. I guess is what Greg. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in terms of technology, how the tech is going, I think, you know, it's the more, you know, cross patterns and convergence in going, and when you look at all the press conferences, there are, you know, no lack of talk about their second screen and third screens and network services, cloud gaming services, and the games will be everywhere. Yeah, so we subscribe to the idea as well in the longer term. So when you ask me about the how we should or we could keep investing in making games, and to me the IP and the content is always the king. You know, if we have a strong content, we find the outlet. You know, of course we are the first party development group, and the traditional model is we publish games only on PlayStation hardware. But when you look at the new initiatives like PS Mobile, we are trying to make redefine the PlayStation platform, away from the dedicated PlayStation hardware that we sell, but to be more software-based, platform to go across, different devices. And it may sound a baby step, but when we talk about longer term, we are definitely thinking about how the tech will converge and become more and more unified or easier, access to contents from different kind of devices, including some people talk about refrigerator with the touch screen. People will have contact to game contents more and more in their life in the future, and we PlayStation has to transform ourselves to be able to reach to these new opportunities.
It's funny that you brought that up, because I was just thinking about how wild it would be if we saw at some point in the future, like PlayStation games on Steam or something.
Sure.
Like they were, just develop, putting it on all as many platforms as possible.
Or on a streaming service. I keep hearing rumors about.
Should we let Goldfarb talk?
No. All right, fine. Remove the duct tape. Goldfarb, what do you got?
Oh yes, Mr. Yoshida. What's your favorite soup?
At SFSoupCo on Twitter. So returning to crossplay for a moment.
Yep.
We've seen with the All-Stars announcement, with MLB The Show, there are a lot of good first-party examples of how to do crossplay, how to do PS3 to Vita.
Thank you.
I'm curious how important you think it is for the future of the Vita to have third parties do that, because, we have Street Fighter Cross Tekken coming, we have a few examples, but like Greg wrote a famous article about how Madden wasn't doing it right with Vita. And, especially after the Call of Duty announcement, how important is crossplay and third party to you?
How important for what is the right question? I think cross-platform features is one of the possibility of PS Vita. What PS Vita brings to the game, and just like there's a back touch, there's a gyro camera, 3G connectivity. There are many things we have put into Vita, and PS3, PS Vita connectivity is another example. So it's not like every game has to make use of everything, and if they do, you are very ready to trust any
features. Oh, come on now.
Really don't.
Features will work, sure.
So it's really important for us platform holder to communicate what it is that each feature can do to development community, and that when they understand correctly, what it does, they will think about the way that they could use, each feature to their, game. So sometimes, we don't really have to try to convince developers. Developers find out the feature and put it in, like the launch title, Marvel vs. Capcom game. I didn't know, they put in the cross-control feature. If you have both PS3 and PS Vita versions, you can use PS Vita touchscreen to kind of, quick access to some, some actions. It's really important for us to answer your question, to communicate to development community and provide an easy kind of way to use the features. But if you ask how important it is for third parties, it really depends on the title in what they do.
And you know, with all the talk of crossplay, what I'm most interested in is, you know, Vita came out somewhat late in PS3's life cycle. I know that you guys have the 10-year life cycle and you want to keep it going, but the rumors are heavy that codename Orbis, whatever it's going to be called, PlayStation 4.
Probably should be called Beyond. They don't want to say anything else.
You know, I know, obviously that's in the works and stuff like that. I'm curious, you know, with PS Vita and PS3 talking to each other, is Vita going to talk to the next generation console too?
That's a trick question. Yeah, of course we are not talking about the next generation of PlayStation. But the, you know, as we invest more on the network services, and it's not just PS Vita and PS3. You know, we are, you know, now part of larger Sony. You know, Kaz Hirai is being the CEO and president of Sony is a, you know, great thing. You know, we moved the office, headquarter office in Japan of Sony Computer Entertainment to the big, you know, headquarter building of Sony. So we occupy two floors of like 20 floor big giant city. They call it Sony City. there are a lot more, you know, opportunities for us to talk to other departments of Sony, like people who are making TVs or who are making, you know, digital cameras, and they are eager to work with us. They kind of also discovered us. You know, when we started Sony Computer Entertainment, the independence was really important for us because that is part of. And you know, and so we developed our own culture, our own way of doing things, you know, away from Sony. But now, you know, back in Sony, and we are finding with each other, oh, you do that, you are thinking that, you have that kind of tech. So not just, you know, PS3 and PS Vita, you know, we are talking about how better we can connect, you know, with other Sony devices. That's another thing. We, you know, Sony constantly get criticized, you know, two different, you know, devices don't, you know, work well with each other. So, you know, as things move to more network and cloud-based, you know, it's becoming easier to connect different devices. And we are, you know, in talk with, you know, Sony people, you know, each department is very secretive. You know, they are trade secret, right? You know, we hate to get something disclosed before we announce, right? But it happens.
You must hate a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we hate it when it happens. So each, you know, department, you know, really is secretive in terms of their, you know, 2-year or 3-year plans, you know, especially when it comes to the product specifications. But now we are kind of talking openly, you know, with each other, you know, under the very strong, you know, guidance from, you know, Kaz Hirai. Yeah, so, you know, TV group is, you know, looking at how better to work with, you know, PS3, you know, and PSP and PS Vita, you know, something like that. You know, and the digital camera imaging group is creating the PS3 applications to be able to easily manage their, you know, consumers' photos or videos or, you know, edit things and share with other things. So these things happen more and more. So if I
have a follow-up. It's cool. Is that more open culture really important to Sony overall? Because, I mean, I know that you said the more general criticism of Sony is that no one had been talking to each other, that something like the iPod could have been developed in Sony or something like that, if the parts of the company were talking to each other. And I know, you know, Sony's market valuation is about 1/6 of what it was 10 years ago. The stock fell below 1,000 yen for the first time since the early 80s. I mean, is there a lot of concern? Being now in that more corporate culture, is there really more pressure on PlayStation? Because PlayStation seems to deliver where a lot of the other parts of the company haven't been delivering lately. Is there more pressure now?
Yeah, so that what I kind of meant when I said Sony discovered, you know, SCE. Yeah, so what we've been doing, they like what we've been doing. So they come to us and, you know, with some ideas, you know, and so we are now, you know, have really big responsibility amongst, you know, Sony Group companies, you know, because we, you know, developed the PlayStation Network and we have the most powerful, you know, console, you know, in millions of people's homes, and we have plans for the, you know, many, you know, new things that we are not talking about today. So it was great, you know, early confirmation when Kaz announced in early this year that, you know, gaming you know, PlayStation is one of the three pillars of Sony business, you know, along with mobile products and digital imaging. So that's where we are. Yeah, so we feel a huge responsibility.
Cool.
Now,
if I can ask one follow-up to that.
Hey, dirty looking Greg.
You get the hell out of here.
So speaking of communicating with other parts of Sony, you know, Vita is this awesome, powerful device that has so many applications for gaming.
Thank you.
Looking forward, is there interest in maybe making it more of a, you know, putting productivity apps on there, allowing it to serve purposes for other parts of Sony, you know, putting GPS or any number of other things?
Yeah, well, I'm a, you know, gadget geek as well as a game, you know, core gamer. So, you know, I really like to see more applications on PS Vita. You know, of course, the focus, number one priority is, game, to get more game, better game. But, you know, I'm so happy, you know, we are getting, YouTube, you know, applications and more, you know, more fun things, you know, going on in the world. So one of the outcome that I really like to see from the PS Mobile project is the more companies, you know, use it to create, you know, very quickly some nice applications for their services and non-game, you know, apps, you know, onto PS Vita. So as well as in these games, you know, that I'm very excited about as well. So yes, you know, I like to see more, you know, non-game applications on PS Vita.
I mean, do you think that's something that will open up over time? Is PlayStation Mobile the avenue for maybe, you know, an indie developer, somebody like, you know, the guy who's making Retro City Rampage, to be making a little project that he can somehow then get on this big system?
Yeah, I think the, you know, entry barrier for making PS Mobile games is going to be way, way lower compared to our traditional model of publishing. You know, it's been very difficult, I understand, you know, for small developers to get the license, you know, to develop games on our traditional, you know, console. So, you know, some people, you know, who are really focused on making professional games, you know, as a business with some, you know, experience, would great to become the official licensed developer for PS Vita. But other people, you know, including students and individuals, you know, they don't want to go through all that process.
Sure.
And so we are providing a way for them to just, you know, click buttons, say some yes a couple of times, and download, you know, SDK, and they don't even have to buy PS Vita or, you know, Android phones to start developing, you know, contents. So that's how we are approaching with PS Mobile, you know, and we are still working on the details. What is it that the process of publishing the finished, you know, content, and what is it that the rules that we put in terms of what kind of content are appropriate for PS Mobile. But we, you know, our team is working hard to provide that pretty soon.
Gotcha. Let's take one from the Twitter here. James Ross writes into my Twitter, and he says, Vita trophies on the PS3, when will we be able to see them? You know, everybody who listens to this show, you know, we made you a trophy whore. Everyone's a trophy whore. Well, but right now they're separated. They're in two different categories.
I have become one.
Yeah,
you know,
we
said you had a Montana.
We said you had a Montana.
You made me one.
Yeah, so, well, you know, I knew this question was coming up. This is.
Well, I think he included you on the tweet.
Yeah, this is one question very hard to answer, but because, you know, from consumer standpoint, you know, it's on PS Vita, and it seems very trivial to add that feature on PS3.
Sure.
You know, we have all the data on the server.
It counts. I mean, it counts towards my overall trophy progression.
It does count.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the issue is you just cannot see PS3. But it counts, right?
Yeah, yeah, it counts. Yeah, yeah. But you know that's not good enough for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more, you know, what frustrates me just more about the Vita and the PS3 connectivity is that it does something so well, like just plugging your Vita into your PS3, downloading things on the PSN, and then it goes right in your Vita. It's beautiful. It's perfect. But then there are things like, yeah, the trophies don't show up, or, you know, you can see people on PS Vita playing on PS3, but when you're on your PS3, you can't see people playing on PS Vita and stuff like that. Little things like that matter to me because I like seeing what people are playing. I always look at what you're playing when you're on my friend's list, you and Scott. Scott Rudin, you know, and Greg and all the other guys.
Yep.
You know, so I like to see those things. And I mean, even though it's trivial, maybe there are other things that are more important. Can we at least expect that that's going to happen eventually in a firmware update?
That's a harder question.
Yeah, so one kind of way to understand the situation is, you know, PS3 was launched in 2006. And that was the very first, you know, PlayStation platform to have network services integrated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, PS Vita launched in 2011 and 12, you know, 6 years, with 5 and 6 years experience of us managing the, you know, network services, you know, understanding people's needs and wants. So one of the things we were able to put in on PS Vita was the cross, you know, game chat. And so it's one thing knowing what we want to do, we should do for consumers to design a system, you know, for example, for PS Vita. But other, you know, when we are developing the very first network-enabled
sure.
platform, you know, for PS3. So there are certain things, you know, that might seem, you know, trivial to add in, might actually be a very difficult, you know, thing to do from, you know, technical standpoint. So I'm not saying never. Because I'm not a tech person, yeah. But there are many things, you know, like priorities for the PS3 teams to work on, and unfortunately, it hasn't come to the, you know, top level.
So now, does stuff like that still frustrate you? It's one of those things. You see the tweets. You see someone tweet at you and say, "Oh man, when are we getting this?" And you're like, "Well, it's not easy." And you can't say that, of course. You just have to live with these tweets coming at you. Where is this? Why don't you hear the consumers? Right? It's just that. This is what we have to do. We're making the product the best we can.
Yeah, well, the language they use,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you get the same.
We're a cornucopia language over here.
Well, it's like every morning when I wake up, you know, I check my...
You get a panini, and then you check the Twitter. You
know, everything that's the worst thing happening in PlayStation world, you know, come to my attention. So I have to, you know, forward that to appropriate department.
Yeah.
You know, is it true, you know, what's going on? And, you know, sometimes I become the first, you know, internally, you know, Sony or SCE to find out what's, you know, going on in
yeah.
the market and, you know, help those departments to address the issue. So,
do you like that role, or does it ever make you, man, I want to delete this Twitter account?
People like me doing it.
Well, yeah. You become quite the Twitter, I mean, everyone loves you on Twitter. Everyone loves you generally. I mean, all our readers have become your Twitter followers. They tweet at all of us collectively.
Yeah, yeah, I know. They act like we all just hang out all the time.
Yeah, like last year, when I joined, you know, Podcast Beyond, at E3, I had like about 1,000 followers on
yeah.
Twitter, and right after, you know, that jumped to like 2,000, and when I checked last week, I have 10,000. So I understand there are lots of people who are, you know, beyond business
sure.
following me.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we talk about you every show. Is that getting creepy yet?
Not to me.
Okay.
But to your family.
That's because we have, you know, we have the picture we put in the background of a lot of our videos. Is that, do you still find that funny, or is that getting a little weird now?
No, it's not. Maybe
a little weird.
That's one of the things, you know, make me come back. To because you know you never know what you're talking about me, right?
So, we're never talking about you.
Yeah. Or our latest games.
And,
yeah. What you like and not like.
Yeah, I knew the picture was okay because I always tell the story to a Sony PR when we'll be out drinking or whatever that we posted that video and I tweeted it and literally 3 minutes later you tweeted and I didn't tweet it at you. You tweeted back and said, "I see myself in this." All right, so you're just watching everything we post. It's fine.
So, I mean, I guess, you know, we're kind of running out of time.
Yeah, yeah. You got a burning question here?
Oh, well, I just kind of want to... I think an interesting way to wrap it up would be maybe to just ask, you know, if we can expect more announcements from, you know, some of the more dormant studios right now soon. You know, I know Guerrilla Games is working on a lot of stuff, Sucker Punch. Polyphony's clearly working on Gran Turismo 6 from all those rumors. So are we going to see more at Gamescom or at TGS about what these guys are working on?
Well... We
anytime you have someone to say, he leans in really close.
Well, yeah, but Colin, you are pretty accurate about the teams that are working on something new that we haven't announced. And you know, I just said I'm very excited, you know, about what they are doing, you know, individually. So I cannot wait for time to announce, you know, these
sure. New things.
I cannot wait for that time either.
Can't wait for TGS, because that's going to be the time.
I know.
TGS. Sony always has a very powerful presence at TGS. I think that's fair. I mean, it's pretty much just dominated by PlayStation products every year that I've gone. So
yeah, and I think that the lasting impression, other than all the Vita stuff, was Final Fantasy X out of TGS last year, which we haven't heard anything about since the HD collection.
Oh, that's true.
Was
think about that.
Really exciting.
Yeah.
You guys are good at that. It was a cool game. Talk to you later. There's something you're excited about. Maybe next year we'll show you the logo.
you should all come to TGS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's fun to be in Tokyo.
Yeah,
I've never been. I love to go.
Yeah, we always talk about coming and partying with you.
Oh, yeah.
We go get a panini when we're done.
Yeah, exactly.
Real authentic Japanese food.
Well, Shuhei, it's been a pleasure as always.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Keep listening.
Thank you for having
keep
me.
Keep us in line. Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's our pleasure.
Yeah.
Do you want to, you got anything to say to all the listeners at home before you sign off?
Well, you know, I really appreciate the people who listen to Podcast Beyond and send me tweets and asking questions.
Just
and,
be nicer about it.
Yeah, giving feedback. You know, I feel connected, you know, to the real people who are playing PlayStation games. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be, you know, part of, you know, Beyond community. You know, thank you for that.
No, it's our pleasure.
It is absolutely our pleasure.
You.
Thanks for not stopping David Cage for stealing our podcast name. Beyond!
Beyond.
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 Beyond. Beyond.
Colin, E3's finally done.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the war room. We're tired.
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of shows. Mm. Jim Sterling, too good. You thought he was your best friend. Look what happened. Mm-hmm. The rattlesnake turned. You thought you could tame a cobra, and the cobra came out of the thing.
Although I could trust him.
Couldn't.
Nope.
So there you go. Destructoid, dead to us.
Mm-hmm.
Except Max Scoville.
Yeah, I like
Max Scoville.
Yeah.
And Dale. Dale's good too.
Yeah, Dale.
All right, you know what? Everybody, even Jim Sterling, he's all right. All right, we're back to liking Destructoid. Right. Colin, give it to me. How was the PlayStation E3 conference? E3. How was PlayStation's E3? It's a long day.
The PlayStation's E3 was average.
Average at best.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's strong stuff here. There's The Last of Us and Beyond Two Souls are the big games or whatever. But where are the Vita games that I really want to play and care about? You know?
They were out there. You had the Zen Pinball 2. You got the Guacamelee.
You got
PlayStation All Stars.
Yeah, but there's nothing there that's gonna sell anything except for Assassin's Creed.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And Assassin's Creed's great. I saw it behind closed doors.
And Guacamelee's on PS3.
Yeah.
And PlayStation All Stars is on PS3, probably where it belongs. So.
Oh, there's a knock at the Beyond door. Is it Jim Sterling? Oh, no, it's not Jim Sterling. It's Anthony Geyers.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Anthony.
I think you guys are... They didn't announce it, but I wouldn't be surprised to see many of the Ubisoft games that we saw also end up with PS Vita versions, such as Splinter Cell and whatnot. They may not be showing that, but I think it's totally...
But my question would be, how good would those be? That's my question.
I don't know.
I hope they're really good. Again, today I saw Assassin's Creed Liberation totally jumped ahead as my Vita game of the show. My Vita game of the show originally, Zen Pinball 2, totally cool. It'll be out in a couple weeks. It's pinball on the go. You can turn the thing sideways, so you have a real pinball table, touch things. I'm not even a big pinball fan. I'm going to play the hell out of it. But then I played Liberation. Liberation really is Assassin's Creed on the Vita. It seems... Don't quote me for the review.
But that's what I'm saying. It seems like they get it right. So maybe if it seems like someone's going to go and support the Vita going forward.
I guess
going
that's true. They had Raymond out. Raymond. Good old everybody loves Raymond.
Everyone's late Raven.
They had Rayman out at launch. They had Lumines. They are supporters of the Vita.
No, honestly, the best thing you guys have going for you, as far as you guys, the best thing Sony has going for as far as selling systems is definitely when we finally get to see if that Call of Duty is coming along, hands down.
Dude, what the fuck was that?
That was the biggest. I mean, other than Wonderbook, which is fine, cool tech, but totally destroyed the press conference.
Last night you weren't there. Me and Anthony were there. We were talking to Jack Buser, friend of the show, big up at Sony there, and he asked us what we thought of the conference, and we told him we liked it. Good beginning, good end, and we talked about the middle sucking. Again, Wonderbook should have just been a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
A trailer from the mind of J.K. Rowling, who comes a Harry Potter tale you've never seen. Oh, my Ingenium Leviosa!
It should just be like, boom, Wonderbook, come to booth, whatever, to find out more.
Yeah, exactly. I really feel like they spent a solid 15-plus minutes on it.
Here's what it all comes down to. Sony had a good E3. They had a lot of good tomatoes in the garden, but there was weeds everywhere. A lot of weeds should have been pulled and thrown out.
But the thing is that those tomatoes were, you know, champion tomatoes. Like, you know, the big tomatoes you bring to a fair
and you get
show
the blue
up.
Ribbon. You get the blue
and
ribbon.
The blue, because
but the thing is that instead of having big tomatoes that you only win the ribbon for, they should have had little cherry tomatoes that were just sweet.
Sure.
over sure, and over sure, you sure. can just eat a ton of.
Well, they and those were there, but you couldn't see them because of the weeds.
Exactly, exactly.
Because, you know, Guacamelee is awesome. Sunflowers is a really cool game. Samora,
there's a lot of good Vita stuff. Yeah. I like Tag. Tag is free. It's an app. It's a goofy little thing. You already said Sunflower, Retro City Rampage. Monkey Ball works really well in the Vita. Like, there's a lot of good Vita stuff.
Yeah, Jet Set's coming. And plus, I mean, third-party games. Assassin's Creed is going to be good. And you know, Dust 514 is probably one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. Really one of the deepest games I've ever seen. But it's just disappointing that we wanted more of a focus on Vita, and it really makes me question what this Call of Duty Black Ops declassified game is all about. They're not ready to show it, but it's still coming out at the end
of
the
year. Well, not only that, but we got an email shortly after the Sony press conference. Like, the trailer's coming soon.
Oh, really? I didn't see that email.
And it's, yeah, and it's like, if the trailer's coming soon, I mean, why not just... Why isn't it just up? Like, just a trailer would have made, like, the Vita coverage for the just explode.
Exactly. That's the thing. You know, I mean, if you would have come to that show and you would have said, here's Liberation, and then right away, here's, you know, 5 minutes of Black Ops, you would have been like, okay, we'd be having a different conversation about Vita. We'd still be saying, should have shown more games. Weird you didn't show more games, but at least there's these two great things coming up. Will you buy the white Vita somehow?
No.
I would love that white Vita.
I mean, I would love it too, but I'm not gonna buy another Vita.
Then right.
I will buy Assassin's Creed Liberation.
Oh my god, no. Again, like, that's, as soon as I saw that today, I was like, holy shit, yes. I want to play the hell out of it. Alright, so let's get off the strictly PlayStation train. What about E3 in general? What did you like, what didn't you like, guys?
For me, I think I saw some strong games in Nintendo's press conference that I liked. I think Pikmin 3 looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Mario Wii U, whatever the fuck it's called, which looks fun. It's the same thing, but as other games, but that's fun. I would play.
Anthony Shaker said it's not fun.
No, I'm saying you're right. It's just all their first party franchises. That's what you want.
Yeah, and that's fine. But I mean, like, again, like, you know, I only played one Wii U game at the show, Tank, which was terrible. It's just a very simplistic game. The Wii U, I hope, is more capable of than what I was shown with that game, because that game looks not only like this generation, but like really looks like an early PlayStation 2 game.
As a zombie fan, Zombie U looked good.
I will say
a lot of people are talking good about it too.
It's not surprising that it only looked like this generation, because the Wii U is barely more powerful than what we have in this generation. So it's really going to not be doing that much more.
It's just disappointing. They're confusing. What's frustrating is that no one holds Nintendo's feet to the fire, really.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it when we walked into the C3, right? It was their show to lose. Nintendo has had the biggest gun. We have a new console, and we're going to show you what's up. Whereas we knew Microsoft and Sony were going to be like, no, we'll hold off and not show anything. And so you went to these conferences expecting awesome things, and I walked away saying, all right, Zombie U looks cool. I'm 120% behind Super Paper Mario 3D. I love Paper Mario games. That game looked rad, sticker, but it's, you know, okay, it's a 3DS game. It wasn't like, okay, this is amazing, I have to do that.
And I think with, you know, Microsoft's press conference, I mean, they're on such a different road right now than Sony, and it's working, you know? But for me as a gamer, I don't really give a shit about what they're doing, you know? They spend so much of their time just talking about Kinect. Like, oh my god, like, I don't give a fuck about Kinect. And you know, they closed out with Black Ops 2, which is gonna be awesome. Like, I really think Black Ops 2 is gonna be awesome. The story's super intriguing. It's totally, like, in my, like, really, like, in my
wheelhouse.
My wheelhouse, yes. But, you know, someone made a good point. I made it on Twitter or whatever, and I was talking to people.
You,
like,
made the tweets.
You know, Sony ends with The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Microsoft ends with Black Ops, which is even their game.
Yeah.
And then Nintendo ends with Nintendo Land. This show's just three totally different roads now they're going. It's a fork in the road. A three-way fork.
The thing is that at this point, Sony, you know, every year that Sony is going, I mean, that Microsoft's going to end with Halo, with Black Ops or whatever the new Call of Duty is. They've done it like every year.
But they,
like,
began, didn't they begin last year with Modern Warfare 3?
I guess what I'm saying, either way, you're right, actually, so I'm wrong.
But
I'm saying at some point, you know, they're going to hit that beat every year, which is kind of like, but you don't get a Last of Us every year. You know what I mean? You don't get.
See, that was the interesting thing. We, you know, we did a feature today, a video feature of who won the conference. Right, or who won E3, and we said Ubisoft, because they were the guys whose conference was the most polished.
Everyone was showing their games at their conference.
Exactly, they had all these great things. But that was the thing, when I was trying to make an argument in my head for Sony, the argument was that Sony came out and showed a whole bunch of exclusives, at least awesome exclusives. Beyond in the beginning, Last of Us in the end, PlayStation All-Stars in the middle, a few others sprinkled out.
Wunderbook.
Exactly, Wunderbook, yeah. Wunderbook. Oh, God. And then, but, you know, Microsoft comes out and it was Halo, and it was Gears, and then it was Splinter Cell, which looks great, but it's coming to
PS3. Going to be on PS3.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think, if you're talking about how the strongest beginning and end to
Oh, sure, sure.
To a con- I mean, I think Sony wins hands down.
That's the thing. If you knock out Wonderbook, and you figure out a way in a sizzle reel to say something as well about PlayStation Mobile, there's no dip in Sony's thing. Jack makes a comment about PlayStation Move and how, you know, it doesn't need to be. It's added on, yada yada. Bam, Wonderbook trailer. Bam, PlayStation Mobile trailer, and then we're right back to seeing God of War. You lose no momentum. We would all be sitting here saying, like, it was a great conference. They had a bunch of heavy hitters. Yada, yada, yada. Let's go.
Yeah, plus, let's not forget, I mean, I think two interesting announcements there, or there are even more than that, but, like, not non-game-related announcements was, you know, PSN's going to get 200 games in the
Which is
awesome. And the PlayStation Plus thing was outrageous. Now, I wanted more out of PlayStation Plus. I mean, the rumors were that, you know, Vita was going to finally be integrated into PlayStation Plus and all that, but still, over $200 worth of games this month on PlayStation Plus. I think seven of them are retail games. Like, and I said it on Twitter, and I'll say it again. We said it last week on Beyond. We've been on PlayStation Plus since day one. We've been saying how great it is, and you can't fucking deny it anymore. Like, if you deny it, you're just not paying attention. Like, that's really what's starting to frustrate me. Like, they're shoving it down your throat. It's so good.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's the thing, right? Like, get home and download Just Cause 2. Like, I left off on that, and I gave the copy. I think I borrowed the office copy because I was playing for, you know, game of the year consideration.
So are these ones that you can use forever as long as you stay a PlayStation Plus member?
Yeah. I meant
that it's not just going to be like this month for PlayStation Plus.
No. You can download this Infamous 2.
Yeah. I mean, someone made a really good analogy. I don't know why I never thought of it, but I thought it was a great analogy in the comment section of that story, which was like, why don't people bitch about Netflix? Like, you stream these movies, and then when you stop subscribing, you don't get access to the movies anymore.
Sure.
No one bitches about that. But with PlayStation Plus, you get all the games, and then when you stop subscribing, you lose the games, and everyone bitches about that. It's fucking nonsense.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So.
Colin?
Back in
I mean, other than that, you know, I just wanted to see more of Vita. I'm still concerned about Vita. We've talked to people about Vita at Sony. You know, Shuhei doesn't seem too concerned about it.
Yeah.
I'm still concerned about Vita. I think it needs more games.
It's the whole thing we came into, right, is that this conference, we kept saying, needed to, one, justify your purchase, two, explain to you why you needed to make the purchase. And those things did not happen at all.
Yeah.
And so now we're still in that thing of, like, what is the Vita? People still have this association with it that it is this dead, you know, this lame duck, this dead thing that nobody cares about.
I will say I'm glad, though, that for the first time in forever, they didn't talk about the PSP. Like, even they were talking about the PSP and Vita alongside even when we were in
Gamescom.
In Gamescom, and it was like, and we're releasing a new PSP, and we're like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Their messaging was so confused, nice that they just left that behind at this point.
I absolutely agree, because they insist that still that's not, because, you know, we have Shuhei about that. Are we going to stitch this in with the Shuhei interview?
This is coming after the Shuhei interview.
Okay, yeah.
Shuhei's already happened.
So you
got this great interview, really polished, we're all on our game, and now you just have this exhausted, we all want to die.
Well, so you'll remember that he talked about it, like, he doesn't seem too concerned about PSP versus, you know, because like you said, and you were kidding around, but I would have, you know, if I was, you know, SCEJ, I would have been like, you're not making PSP games anymore, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's over. No more PSP games. Like, literally, we're not letting you make any more PSP games. You bring them the fucking Vita. You put trophies on them. I don't care if you up-res them.
Just one trophy, one platinum. Buy it.
How do you guys feel about the PlayStation Classics coming to Vita, right? That's like...
Colin and me did a thing about our winners and losers or whatever, and that got on there, and Colin wrote all about it, and my response was, it doesn't do anything for me, but I'm glad Sony's listening. I'm glad Sony's listening to the consumers that do want that.
Yeah, it was a major complaint. I played Final Fantasy VII on Vita, and it ran fine, and you know, they're mapping R2 and L2 to the back touchpad, and they're integrating analog stick controls. So it's cool, and people have been complaining about that. And what's cool too is that you can have it on your PSP, your PS3, and your Vita, you know, the same game, purchase once, you know, and all the games should be available. So I think that's really nice. I mean, it's just, they're, like you said, they're listening. They're not
exactly.
You know, Shuhei, you know, also said that, you know, I mean, they're not listening in other ways in terms of trophy integration and like seamless PSN. You know.
What he said is they are listening. They just can't do anything about that at this time. You know what I mean? They have so many things that are going, so many projects going on. We think it's so easy, right, that a PS3 should be able to talk to a Vita and see it all. And he was saying, it's not. You know what I mean? This was made, whatever it was, 6 years ago, and this is now, and trying to make them communicate. Right. Which I thought was an excellent point that we do overlook, thinking like, oh, you just update the firmwares.
That's true.
You want a urinal sandwich?
I would like to see that at this point, if we want the Vita to get even more successful, I would like it to see that the PSN sort of library for it grows. Like, retail games are fine, and it's nice to hear about retail games, but I just want more, like, incredible $10 downloadable games.
Well, that was
more mutant blob attacks and stuff like that.
That was the fun thing, talking, you haven't listened to the Shuhei interview before, but he was talking about how PlayStation Mobile opens that door. Okay. They finally get to this point where now you don't need the PS3 and you don't need the Vita debug kit, right? You can make things now, put them into this thing, and then we can start. But he said, like, the bridge now is how do we get it published? How do we get that published in the PSN? And that's the big, that is the big question for me, and that's the interesting thing. Do we suddenly start getting an app store for the PlayStation Network, you know what I mean, where something like that happens?
That would make my Vita, like, my favorite handheld.
And the thing I wrote about for E3, and it got overlooked a little bit because it went up during the Sony press conference in the middle of the news, Little Big Planet Vita this time around is doing something like that. Have we talked about this? You and I?
No.
Little Big Planet Vita this time, you know, you can make games like you could in Little Big Planet 2. However, this time they have in their creation toolkit this thing called the Memorizer. And so you could make a 40-hour RPG for the first time ever and have it now. Basically, you could save. So you could go to the, you could put in Little Big Planet, go to the, you know, the Little Big Planet created things, download all these different games, and they could be this. Don't get me wrong, a lot are going to be shit, a lot are going to be farming for trophies, but there's going to be a 40-hour RPG in there that's amazing. There's going to be a shooter in there that's amazing, and it's going to be these things that you can download for free, play, save your progress, and keep going. That's exciting.
That is.
Yeah. And of course, Little Big Planet, no release date. Who the fuck knows when that game's coming?
I think that one of the things that Sony's doing, though, that with Vita and PS3 is they're doing something that's intuitive but also counterproductive. And what I mean by that is Soundshapes is a really good example. Soundshapes was supposed to be on Vita only. They're bringing it to PS3, and now they've destroyed the ability of like Soundshapes to push Vitas. Because if someone owns a PS3, right, then like, you know, it's cool if you own both, and you buy both, whatever. But like doing that kind of shit is actually a bad idea. But on the other hand, you have like something like PlayStation All Stars, which I still think shouldn't be on Vita. But that might actually help sell Vitas. But then you have a game like Guacamelee that should probably only be on Vita. And like not everything needs to play on both of them if they want to sell these things.
True, but it's one of these things of is Soundshapes a system seller? Is Guacamelee a system seller?
Not on their own, but Cole Collins saying is that if enough of them were exclusive to one, then it could become a system seller.
Yeah, like you need to have a robust catalog of games. If you're taking all these games and you're like, well, like the three games we just mentioned are also on PS3. If you own a PS3, then those three games are not going to compel you to buy that system. And by the way, those three games are going to be pretty good. So, you know, played Guacamelee, played Soundshapes a bunch of times. We played All Stars. They're good games. So I just think that they need to connect to each other, but they need to have their own little hemisphere.
Sure, there do need to be games that don't go back and forth.
Yeah.
And it's the same reason I own a PS3 and an Xbox, right? Because there are certain games I can only get on one of them. Sure, if I could get every game on one, I would only own one.
But I think there's, when you talk about that, I think there are those games that are those touchstones that Assassin's Creed is a great example. There's an exclusive, real Assassin's Creed game on the Vita.
That's true. If Soundshapes, PS3, and Vita were totally different games, like, or that there was like a totally different hook to them, then I'd want both.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody's going to be looking at the Soundshapes and be like, oh man, I have to buy
it. Okay, that's a bad example.
And I do think Soundshapes will be better on the Vita for the strict purpose of Vita is a headphone system. You want to hear every beat, you want to hear every sound, whereas like you don't get that when you're playing at home on a team.
But creating that ecosystem is important.
True.
They need to give Vita games that are only on the Vita. Like, now we know why Soundshapes was delayed. I mean, like, now we know because they were porting it.
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, that's the reason it was delayed. That game was supposed to come out when the system launched. It's still coming out soon, but now we know why. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And, like, meanwhile, the Soundshapes, frankly, could have been really, you know, used early on in the Vita's life, you know?
Yeah.
And now we're entering a fucking dark summer, you know, where there are going to be no Vita games.
What are you talking about? Zen Pinball 2 coming up? It's going to be great!
Yeah, but these are little guys. I mean, we need, you know, Sunflowers is going to be dope. We talk about all these games. Yeah. Samurai is a port and stuff like that, but like, we need dopeness.
When's Persona 4?
I played a version of it that's not even translated,
not
so I don't
soon,
know.
Then. Yeah. Not soon is the answer there.
I mean, it's not even out, I don't think, in Japan yet. Right?
I don't know. Persona 4?
Persona 4 Gold.
Oh, you mean... I'm sorry. I'm so tired. Yeah, you're right. On Vita. Yeah. I'm thinking Persona 4. Whatever, I'll be quiet. PS2. It's been out for a while on PS2.
Yeah, it came out in 2008 on PS2.
Oh, it's been a long day.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, you got anything else to say?
No, I mean, I think Sony's press conference was strong. I think that out of the first parties, they easily won. But yeah, I think you can't deny Ubisoft's tour de force.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually quite impressive. Ubisoft has always had good games, but like they seem more relevant than ever.
Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. Anthony?
I think that in general, that you're right, Sony had the best conference out of all of them, even if I didn't feel like any of the conferences were particularly amazing.
Sure, I agree with that.
But I also felt like this was the year where the most impressive booths at E3 were not not the console manufacturers. They were totally third-party people, whether it was, like, PC, like, the Wargaming booth was huge, and it's like those dudes had, like, nothing 2 years ago, or Ubisoft, or you had, you know, just all kinds of other third-party publishers were like, well, you guys own the show now. It's, like, not Microsoft, Sony anymore.
Word. So. And it is the calm before the storm, I'll say. Next year is going to be...
It'll be different.
Next year will be bonkers, yeah.
Because we'll finally have played, you know, I'm sure PS4 and Durango.
It's one of those things, I mean, like, Vita, they're going to continue to support it. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Germany and Japan all had tons of Vita stuff coming out of them.
Sure. Yeah. I hope so. Yeah. I really do.
We might see. We might be having a totally different conversation.
Oh, and another dumb move that I'm not happy with, and I guess it doesn't matter much to us because we'll get games early, hopefully, knock on my leg, is that Assassin's Creed 3 and Liberation coming out the same day.
Yeah.
Come on now. I want to focus on one, then I want to focus on the other. I don't want to split my time back and forth.
Play one on the train.
Yeah.
That's a whiny baby complaint.
It is. It's a Greg Miller problem. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond, episode 243, I believe is what it was. Thank you, Shuhei. Thank you, Clements. Thank you, Goldfarb. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Colin. Remember, follow IGN on Twitter at IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Anthony is Chuff Money. Shuhei Yoshida is USP. Goldfarb is Garfep. Ryan is Plum Cider. I got everybody in. Yay! Send questions to beyond@IGN.com. Next week, big news. We're moving to our first ever official. We're moving the show to Tuesdays, so you only have to wait a couple days until the next time Beyond comes
around. And then we'll be more coherent. We will have marinated on things and have some more.
Man, I'm going to marinate so hard and everything. Beyond!
Beyond.
Beyond. Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.